Turning our Bibles today to the book of Revelation, chapter 17, verse 14. We have been going through, if you're visiting today, a series of messages on the names of Christ. You know, he's got hundreds and hundreds of names, and we started off with my treasure. I hope you remember that. Then we talked about the testator. And today I want to talk with you about the overcomer. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, to overcome means to prevail over, to win, to defeat, to overcome. Jesus, our blessed Lord, is the emphatic article, the overcomer. And in Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, I hope you're there. If you're there, say yes.
Yes.
All right, here we go. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. The overcomer. Let's pray. Father, I pray now that there's a holy hush in this place. I pray as we contemplate one of the wonderful names of our blessed Lord. Lord, you'll drive home the fact of just how wonderful he is. I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, for you are my strength and you're my redeemer. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hold your finger on Revelation 17:4, if you would. We're going to be in several places in the Word of God this morning, and I trust that the message today would be one of pure encouragement, just to encourage you in your daily lives as you battle against three great antagonists. All of us have a problem. In fact, we've got three problems. We may not want to admit that. We may smile and even carry a big Bible. We may be faithful to church. We may witness. We may give. We may pray. But we have three great problems. And let me share them with you today if I might. Number one, we have an adversary that's against us. An adversary. That's used of a lawyer in a court, a prosecuting attorney, trying to prosecute us before the bar of God. So we have an adversary, and that adversary is our flesh. Our flesh. Now please remember, we are living in a body here, but our home is in eternity with the Lord. And this body of flesh is prone to do evil. All of us are capable of doing anything at any time if we're put under the right circumstances and we're not armed with the weapons of God. Think about that. Anytime you see someone that has fallen, if you see a drunken bum in a gutter, if you see someone that is high on some drug or some alcohol, if you see a man or woman being unfaithful to their mate, that could be you. And that could be me. Because I have an enemy. It's called the flesh. Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" You're looking at something that was corrupt. In sin, my mother and my father conceived me. That does not mean that the act of a man and woman coming together and a child being produced is sin. What it means is I have received from my father. He has received from his father and his father and his father the Adamic nature.
Paul said, the good that I want to do, I do it not. And the bad that I don't want to do, that's what I do. And he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, let me get you up to speed on what he meant there. That is a Greek word picture. In the days of Paul, if I had committed a crime, a capital crime, and I had, say, murdered someone, they would take the body of that victim and strap that body, that dead body, to me. They would strap the feet to my feet, the legs to my legs, the torso to my torso, and the face to my face. And I had to walk around as long as I lived with a rotting, stinking body strapped to me. Where you're looking at a body that is rotting and stinking and going to die. This body, the tabernacle of me, of my soul, is going to die. But I am going to live on forever and forever and forever. Now, if you're here today, I hope to jog you into thinking, what about eternity? We all run out of time, but none of us run out of eternity. None of us do. So we have the adversary of the flesh that's constantly getting us to crave after things that God says, no, no, no. Not to punish us, but to protect us from the evils of the flesh. Then number two, we have the accuser. Satan is constantly at the throne of God accusing us before him, saying if he was a Christian or if she was a Christian, that wouldn't happen. Or Satan comes to us in the stillness of the night and said, you remember what you did 31 years ago on Tuesday, the ninth day of November? How could you be a child of God and do that? Constantly accusing us in our spirit and before the throne of God. That's our second enemy. Then the third one is the allurements of the world. The world. What an enemy. The world. Now I want you to see this verse, if you would. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And I'm going to try to make a deal with you today. Come on down and let's make a deal. We're going to make a deal today. If I, in the Word of God and empowered by the Spirit of God, can show you the foolishness of grabbing and gorging yourself with the things of the world is foolishness, will you accept the deal to accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? How about that? To clean up your act. The allurements of the world. In 1 John chapter 2, notice what he says, verse 15. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Then he talks about those allurements. Look at verse 16. For all, underline that word all, not some, all, every bit of it. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he, oh glory, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now let me describe that for you if I might. Let's talk about for just a minute the lust of the flesh. He's saying that everything that the world offers can be categorized in three compartments. He says the lust of the flesh, that's one. Then he says the lust of the eyes, that's two. Then he says the pride of life, that's three. So if you had all of those things and lose your soul, you're very foolish. He talked about the appetite of sin. He talked about the lust of the flesh. For instance, from the moment you were born till the moment you die, every time your flesh had a desire, had a lust, it could be fulfilled just like that. You'd have one-third of the world. Got it? One-third of the world. From the moment you were born till the moment you die, every time you had a lust, your appetite for sin, an appetite, craving something, it could be fulfilled that quick. You'd have one-third of the world. One-third of it. Then he says, the appearance of sin. He says, and the lust of the eyes. If every time your eyes saw something, from the moment you were conceived or born until the day you died, if every time you saw something that you wanted, you got it. Beautiful farm, a nice automobile, a nice home, da-da-da, everything. Anytime you saw something, it was automatically yours. You'd have two-thirds of the world. Two-thirds of it. Then he said, the pride of life. That's the attitude of sin. The pride of life. If you was Mr. Macho or Mrs. Far Above Rubies, if you were beautiful or handsome like me, you would have three-thirds of the world. In other words, you'd have all the world if you had those three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. If you could fulfill those three things every moment of every day of your life and you died without God and without Christ, you are a fool. Now you say, you shouldn't have said that. Well, thus saith the Lord. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 36, if you want to look at it. For what shall man give in exchange for his soul? What is your soul worth? How much is it worth? You're going to live on. You agree with that? I don't think any sane person would think that God created us in His own image, and someday we're going to die and be dead and buried like a dog, and that's the ceasing of our existence. God's eternal. He made us eternal. And believe it or not, dear one, we are going to spend eternity somewhere. Somewhere we're going to spend eternity. That goes on and on and on and on and on and on. When you consider the statements of our Lord, my soul is very expensive. I am expensive. How do I know that I am so expensive? Because the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords vacated His throne for 33 and a half years and was born of a virgin in a cow stall and lived a perfect life and died on Calvary, was buried, rose again, and purchased me with His precious blood. That's how much I'm worth. I'm bought with a price. Know you not? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're bought. He bought you lock, stock, and barrel by His blood He shed for you. Consider the statements. There has never been a gentler person than the Lord Jesus in His manifestation. There's never been a more gracious person than the Lord Jesus in His manifestation. And we could come up with every superlative and every adjective and every vocabulary of the universe, past, present, future. And we could not describe Him in His goodness. But He preached 12 messages like I'm preaching today, but a lot better. He preached 12. You can count them in the Gospels. He preached 12 messages. And listen to me, 11 of them dealt with the souls of people who died lost without Him. He said, they'll go to a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. 11 messages dealt with hellfire brimstone. You say, well, I don't like hellfire brimstone. Well, maybe you ought to get used to it. If you leave this world without Christ, that's what's waiting on you. That's what's waiting on you. So how much am I worth? I'm worth enough that God in eternity past, in the council of the Trinity, decided in the council chambers of the triune God that Jesus Christ would be the Lamb of God that would come and take away the sin of the world. And he gave up that darling, beloved son for 33 and a half years and let him come into the world. And the angels were weeping and God was brokenhearted when he was hanging on the cross. Amen. For the sin of the world. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And by his stripes we're healed. Consider the statements of Jesus. How much are we worth? Do we have a soul? Where is it going to spend eternity? What would you trade for it? I read a very interesting article several years ago. There was a doctor in Sweden. Listen to this. Amazing. A doctor in Sweden put 100 terminally ill people, their beds and their bodies, on sensitive scales. Sensitive scales. 100 people. 100. Let me say that again. 100 people. Sensitive scales. And a split second after they breathed their last breath, and their last beat of the heart had finished, they'd weighed 1/3 of a gram less. 1/3 of a gram. Isn't that amazing? 100 of them, every one of them, 1/3 of a gram less. What was that? Where'd that weight come from? I know. I know. May not be right, but it sure does make good preaching. Amen. There was a day when God raked together some red dirt. Just raked it up. And went. And he breathed into a dirt pile the breath of life. And man became a living soul. A living soul. And believe it or not, that soul was created just like God. In the image of God made he a man and a woman. And let me stress this again. One of these days, you're going to read in the paper where I've died. Some of you young bucks, I want to tell you something. Don't you believe a word of that. Don't believe a word of that. I'm going to lay this body down. But my spirit's going back to God who gave it and who made it. And I'll be with him for eternity. And let me tell you something else. Don't squall over me. I think I'll come back and haunt you if you do. Don't sing these old sad funeral songs. I want you to sing the Hallelujah Chorus. Amen. I want you to sing Because of Calvary. Yes. I want you to sing The Love of God. Yes. I want you to sing Blessed Assurance. Jesus was mine and still is. Dear friend, listen. God put in my heart a long, long time ago, a love for souls. There's people here this morning that's lost. They're lost. We had prayer meeting Wednesday night. Someone reminded me that there was a helicopter came over the church. I was busy teaching and I didn't hear it. But if you leave here, turn left and go to the four-way stop and turn left, you'll cross the railroad track. Well, a young man, 21 years of age, celebrating his 21st birthday, hit another car head on, and it killed the young man with him. And I heard this boy that was driving died yesterday. 21 years old. 21. Blasted his whole life. Thrown away. You don't have to be 85 to die, folks.
Amen.
You've got to be prepared when you do.
Amen.
Careless soul, oh, heed thy warning. For your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. Oh, you say, well, I've got it all. I got the whole world like a tiger by the tail. I got it all. I got the appetite of sin. I got the appearance of sin. I've got the attitude of sin. I've got it made. Well, the Bible says, a man that gives his soul for that is a fool. Is a fool. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. If God knows my heart, and He does, we love you and we care for you. Many years ago, God put in my heart a desire to tell people about Christ. He put in my heart a desire to see people come to know Him as their personal Savior and be born again. He's never let me down. Never. And that desire is still there. I used to pray, Lord, when you come or you call me home, let me be shaking hands with someone I've just won to you. This room is filled with lost people today. Oh, they got it all. But they don't have anything if they don't have Christ. Just a moment, we're going to sing a special song for the invitation, Brother Tim is. And Lord, it talks about what we have now that we have accepted you as our Savior. Oh God, I pray that the Holy Spirit has been our preacher today. I pray that He has spoken to hearts. And people see a need of having everything. That's Christ. Having it all. Because that goes into eternity with us. I pray, Father, as we open the doors of the church, there may be some who have been visiting with us that need to come today. Unite with us and go to work here and help us build the kingdom of God. Whatever their decision is. There may be some that just like to come and say, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. It never gets old, the fact that you love me that much. As we stand in just a moment, Father, I pray, oh God, the very first note of the song, the first note of the hymn, I pray people will start coming. Lord, I've done all I know to do. I've prayed all I knew about to pray about. But the invitation's yours, Lord. Will you do your work? We're going to expect it, and then we're going to enjoy it as you do your work.
save that lost soul. Save that lost soul this morning in Christ's name. Amen.